Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Tina S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, April the 16th, 2026, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are in the chapter More About Alcoholism, page 31, starting with the second paragraph. Here are some of the methods we have tried, reading through one paragraph, ending with, we could increase the list ad infinitum. Today's readers are readers of the text, Martha Z, Kathy M, page 164. Our backup reader is Liz S. 12 Steps is Barbara W. 12 Traditions, Cindy H. Newcomer greeter, Cheryl L. And our second hour host is Robin L. Reference number for yesterday, Wednesday, April the 15th, 2026, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,369. That's 23369. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,370. That's 23370. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Barbara W. to read the 12 steps. Barbara.
Hello, everybody. My name is Barbara, and I'm a compulsive, grateful overeater. And thank God for this program. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, yet our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching, fearless, moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these character defects. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. And eight, made a list of all persons that we have harmed and become willing to make amend to them all. Nine, made direct amend to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, we continue to take personal inventory of ourselves, and when we were wrong, properly admitting it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will and for the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritually awakened as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thanks so much, Barbara W. And next, I have asked Cindy H. to read the 12 traditions, please.
Thanks, Tina. This is Cindy H., a recovered but not cured compulsive overeater in Troy, Michigan. Here are 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest the problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thanks so much, Cindy H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter More About Alcoholism, and we are on page 31, the second paragraph, starting with here are some of the methods we have tried. Reading through one paragraph, ending with we could increase the list ad infinitum, and we're commenting on that one paragraph only. And Martha Z., if you get us started, please.
Thank you so much, Tina. This is Martha Z. I'm a compulsive overeater, grateful, recovered by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. Here are some of the methods we have tried. Drinking beer only, limiting the number of drinks, never drinking alone, never drinking in the morning, drinking only at home, never having it in the house, never drinking during business hours, drinking only at parties, switching from scotch to brandy, drinking only natural wines, agreeing to resign if ever drunk on the job, taking a trip, not taking a trip, swearing off forever with and without a solemn oath, taking more physical exercise, reading inspirational books, going to health farms and sanitariums, accepting voluntary commitment to asylums. We could increase the list ad infinitum. And good morning, my friends in recovery. It reminded me of when I went to treatment. We had to write a list of 25 ways we tried to control food, and the list wrote itself. And I was thinking about it. I woke up this morning, I was thinking about this paragraph, and I thought, the more I tried to control it, the more out of control it was. So when I looked at the list, never having it in the house, that was my big thing. I didn't want to be overeating, but I'd be going out to the store at 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, I would have run anybody down in my car. I, you know, always went out to get it. Not eating at work. I've tried, committed not to do that. I was teaching and things got really crazy. I couldn't even concentrate when I was eating. So I started thinking about it when I was in college. I decided that I wasn't going to eat breakfast. So I'd just have Tang only. And I'd come to the cafeteria line at lunch, and desserts were the first thing. And I'd, you know, start eating one and take another couple. I'd totally disastrous. I decided I wasn't going to get a meal plan on the weekends. That was disastrous as well. So when I was dieting, I didn't eat my alcoholic foods. But when I got to my goal weight, I'd say, you can have dessert for lunch or dinner. And I was at my goal weight for a couple hours, maybe. When I got married, I had my husband lock up the food. We lock up money so I couldn't go out and buy it. And, you know, I'd bent the cabinet and reach in and get it anyway. I totally unmanageable. And when I was in OA, I stopped eating sugar. I didn't eat any sugar, but I ate fruit juice, sweetened cookies, and everything else in the world. And that didn't go well either. So I was remembering one time being in the store, and I had I had these crushing headaches all the time. So I overate during the week. I didn't eat on the weekend. So every weekend I had this crushing headache. So I'm in the store. I have a bag of candy in one hand, and I have a bottle of Excedrin in the other hand. And I'm thinking, oh, I need this so I can eat that. So I didn't manage to control it one little bit. It just controlled me. So I hope that's a good sampling of how it controlled me. And I am so grateful to be living in recovery and to not be living like that anymore. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Martha Z. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So I'm going to take a list of names. If you give me your first name and first initial of your last name and where you're calling from, who would like to share on this paragraph?
Lisa Jo B.
Kelly F. Kelly F.
Sierra G.
Jessica. Who G? I missed that one.
Sierra.
Sierra?
Yeah. Thank you.
Sierra G. Uh-huh. Got Lisa, Kelly, and Dara. Anyone else want to?
Did you get Robin P. in Tennessee?
No, Robin P. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
M, North Carolina.
Nancy P.
Who M? Nancy P. And who M from North Carolina?
Ann. A-N-N-E.
Ann, okay. Gotcha, Ann. Okay, got Lisa, Joe B., Kelly, Dara, Robin, Ann, and Nancy P. Who else? Okay, let's go with that, and then we'll take another list.
Lisa B.T.
And Lisa.
Julie N., New York.
Julie L.
Virginia N.
Virginia N. Okay, let's stop with that. Okay. Let's see, we have Lisa, Joby, Kelly, Dara, Robin, Ann, Nancy, Lisa, Julie, and Virginia. Lisa, Joby, please get us started.
Hey, everyone. It's Lisa, Joby in Colorado. I tried so hard to control and rationalize my eating. And the desperate attempts are so vividly conveyed in this paragraph. I would switch things out. I prided myself in using, for a while, in using things that were sweetened by, you know, real maple syrup and all this other alternative stuff. Yet within days, I was going for the real thing. I was off to the races, and I didn't make that connection, and I didn't want to give it up. So, you know, and I would try and control it by, well, I'm just gonna eat like I normally do when I'm out celebrating with other people or out breaking bread with them in restaurants instead of by myself, and then that. Totally didn't work. It was just like, you know, the more I practiced the disease, the more it overtook me. No matter how I rationalized it or tried to find a loophole, it just, it all backfired. And the dishonesty of thinking that I could get away with it was just just an absolute mind game I would play with myself, and it didn't get me anywhere. It was like I was chasing my own tail, and I was digging a deeper hole with a fork, and I'm just really grateful today that I've stopped digging, and I'm not tricking myself as much as I used to. I'm not perfect, but I'm practicing entire absence today. And I balked at it at first, and now I'm just like playing this game with myself of how honest can I be? Let's see how honest I can get, and how long one day at a time that I can stay entirely absent. And this is a miracle, everybody. This is Lisa Jobe, who thought she knew all the answers to everything in the universe, and that I could get away with murder. And now I'm obeying what my sponsor's telling me. Like, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, and I've never been able to really say that. So really love this paragraph. It's so descriptive, and I can relate to every sentence. So thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, Lisa Joe B. from Colorado. Next, we have Kelly S., followed by Dara G. Please share with us, Kelly.
Hey, good morning, Tina. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, guys. It's Kelly EYS in Tulsa, Oklahoma, recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. Thanks for all the shares, a couple of shares. And I would add to that list, but I just want to come from it from a different way. Most of you guys know I've been around here for decades, over half my life. So I really want to speak to that person who's been around the chronic relapse, or the person maybe who's never, ever even got recovery. So here are some of the methods I've tried. I came in when I was 20 and I'm 63, okay? I'm just going to go to more meetings. I need 90 meetings in 90 days, right? Maybe a new sponsor. I'm going to try a different workshop. Maybe this meeting will do it. Maybe this faction of OA, maybe that faction of OA, right? Oh, literature? I'll buy this book that just came out, this meditation book, this one that everybody's reading about, this one that everybody's quoting about. That's what I need. And the list goes on infinitum. But here's the deal. I've tried everything. I have tried everything in these rooms. Again, it's my power. Whether I was in these rooms or not, the majority of my life I've been in these rooms. I've been trying to do it myself. I wasn't hearing that message. I lack power. So all of these things are great. These tools, they're wonderful. But they don't do it if I don't work the steps and get this connectionship with God so I can find the power. I'm still trying to do it on self-power, and it didn't work. It hadn't worked, you know? And so I had to, yes, we all come in here. I did. I wanted to stop the crazy eating. I've been over 125 pounds overweight the majority of my life. I came in 20 pounds overweight, binging and purging. I've done all these things in and out of these rooms. I've never left, and I kept trying a different thing, a different way, and it wasn't working. And finally, I heard that message. I lack power. Why am I working these steps? Right? Yeah, I came in, I worked the steps to get, I just wanted to get out of the food. I wanted the crazy to stop. But in the decades of relapsing and not understanding what I realized, why am I working these steps? For a connectionship with power so I can change. I'm a broken record, but the same person is going to eat again. And I did. I continued to eat because I didn't change. I didn't get this connection with God. I didn't hear the message. I would read it and I would say it, but I truly didn't let it fall into my heart. I have to work these steps so that I can change and I get a connection with power so I can be a different person and show up in my homes, occupations, and affairs as a different human, right? So I'm not driven back to food or something else for ease and comfort. God today is my ease and comfort. It took me a long time to hear the message, and I'm grateful today that I did hear the message. But I'm telling you, you can stop trying. Work the steps, get a connection with God, and today you can live free. And with that, I pass. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much, Kelly EYS from Oklahoma. Next, we have Dara G, followed by Robin P. Please share, Dara. Let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Sarah G calling from New York. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you, everyone, for being here. It's, you know, I really had to build on this program. I resisted so much. I've had so many relapses and trying this and that and just taking control. And why was it? Because I had a hard time feeling, and I have a thinking problem. And for today, like even in this moment right now, I had my morning where I prayed and meditated, and now I'm coming on this meeting, and I am feeling a certain sadness right now for whatever reason. But what the miracle of this program is that I don't need to medicate. I get my, I get filled from, you know, when I'm not connecting to God to doing a 10-step. And then through the 10-step, because I'm connecting to other people, because people were wired for connection, and then it helps me go back to God. You know, I wish it was just God. I wish I had such a constant deep connection to God. And it's a constant work in progress, because that's what relationships are. And I'm just so grateful for my God squad. I'm grateful, and I'm continuing to build on it, because even if I had, you know, I can call up any of you, and even if I never spoke to you, if I would do a 10-step, you'd understand. And it's just such a beautiful program. And again, just to end with that, ultimately, it's all about my relationship to God. Okay, I thank you, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Sarah G. from New York. Next, we have Robin P., followed by Ann M. Please share, Robin.
Thanks so much for the meeting. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Franklin, Tennessee, and just so glad to be on the meeting today. You know, I was thinking about, I could check off so many of those boxes, but there are some that I haven't. And I kept thinking of that acronym, YET, you're eligible to. You know, I haven't done those things yet, and by God's grace, I pray I never do. But I was a low volume bulimic and anorexic and compulsive overeater, and you know, wow. And my life was so lonely. It was just me and my God, which was food. And I had just so much fear and pride, and, you know, that self-centered fear in the center of the universe. And I was so afraid to trust anybody. And I came from a lot of trauma, and I was just so afraid to say, can you please help me? And that's been just a muscle that I still work today, 10 years later, over 10 years, by God's grace and mercy, one day at a time. You know, I still get to keep practicing that 10-step, 11 and 12. And yeah, I'm making a 10-step call. Can you listen? You know, it's just that fear voice or the pride voice still goes, and I know better now, thank God. And I'm so grateful to just keep practicing those muscles every day and being of service. And I see how God uses me in other people's lives too. And it's such a blessing. And I didn't show up for people before when I was on that list of, you know, hell is what it was. And I get to live in life today and be of service to God and myself. And it's literally a whole different experience on earth. And, you know, I was on Broadway for a long time in my 20s and 30s in New York, and I'm now in my 60s. And, you know, I have an opportunity in London and coming up in the fall. and to get my visa so I can perform at the West End if it's God's will. And wow, I have a lot of program I get to keep working because my life, you know, and my dreams got so much smaller in the disease, and God, you know, is opening up my gifts again in a new way. And I just get to keep praying and showing up one day at a time and being discerning and seeing if I can do it. I'm a senior citizen, you know, and I'm working out at the gym and preparing and doing everything and showing up one day at a time. And I'm just so grateful. It's because of the foundation of abstinence and recovery and these steps that I am able to keep growing and showing up spiritually. So God bless everybody with a very blessed
abstinence. Gentle reminder. Day in my path.
Thank you. Perfect.
Thanks so much. Yeah, thanks so much, Robin P. from Tennessee. Next, we have Ann M., followed by Nancy P. Please share, Ann.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you, everybody, who's doing service this morning. This is Ann M., and I am currently in North Carolina, but I live my life as a nomad. I wanted to share this morning because it is this paragraph, perhaps more than any other, that told me that this book written for alcoholics have applied to me as a compulsive overeater. Because as I read through all the list of the things that people tried to avoid alcohol, I could so easily identify. And just as with the shares that have happened, where we can all go through the litany of the things that we have tried to control our eating and the various diets and the various mindsets and the various rules. And we try all these things. And it was this paragraph that said to me, yes, this book speaks to me as a compulsive overeater. And then when I was open to that idea, then I could also accept the idea that's in the solution, that's in the chapter to We Agnostics. I could accept all of that. That also said the solution is a psychic change, a spiritual experience. And I was able to believe them also when they said it's the God of my understanding and not necessarily the God that I thought was being taught in the church of my childhood. And all of those things are so important because my self-will run riot, absolutely, you know, not only in trying to control my eating, but also in trying to control my program in the early days, especially as one of our earlier speakers shared, trying to control the program. And I have done a lot of self-will in this program. And it is through the grace of Gomu, the God of my understanding, that I can stand here and say, I am grateful to be living in recovery on a day-to-day basis and giving over to Gomu what I'm going to eat and how much I'm going to eat. And most of the time, all of the time when I truly give over, I am in food neutrality. Now, I still try to take my will back. I am a fallible human being. I still try to take my will back. I tried the milk version.
Gentle reminder.
Milk experiment. Thank you. Just recently, and I had to be reminded my self-will won't work. With that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Ann M. from North Carolina. Next, we have Nancy P., followed by Lisa B.T. Please share, Nancy.
Sure. Good morning, Nancy P. Recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. Actually, I'm in Cambridge, but I live in West Newton, Massachusetts. So others have said what I would say, you know, like, we can't do it ourselves. So I don't care about that anymore. I don't care. Like, I don't care. Everybody knows this. I don't care about God. I don't care about any of that. What I know is that I'm completely defeated. And my dad always used to say, you know, managers don't do the work. They get results through the efforts of others. So today I'm a delegator. Like, I don't do anything except surrender. And, you know, I did all these things which didn't work. You know, when I tried to confront this problem head on, I failed. I failed every single time, consistently and spectacularly. And, you know, here are some of the methods I tried. Eat this, don't eat that. Eat that, don't eat this. Weigh and measure, don't weigh and measure. Eat sugar, don't eat sugar. More meetings, fewer meetings, different meetings. And my most favorite was, I mean, I've talked to the same woman on the phone for 40 years, 5 days a week, my dear friend, my sponsor. But she couldn't help me. So I thought, well, I'll do more. I'll get another sponsor, the meaner the better, the kind that would ditch you if you, you know, sneezed instead of coughed without committing it. And that didn't work. The only thing that worked was when I did stuff that worked. And for me, the one thing that works all the time, consistently, and also spectacularly, surrender. And, you know, when I did that, I could look at this book. I've had it for decades, my very book, my same book that I always read from. And when I did what it said, I got what it promised, absolutely, entirely, utterly, and completely. And anybody who does that, you'll get the same thing. And with that, I'll pass.
Moderator, we don't hear you.
Oh, sorry about that. I was talking away. Thanks so much, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. Next, we have Lisa B.T., followed by Julie L. Please share, Lisa. Star one, Lisa.
Sorry about that. You can hear me now?
I can.
Okay, yeah. Great. Thanks. Thank you. I was just saying, Lisa B.T., recovered in Ontario, Canada. Thank you for the meeting, and what an amazing bunch of shares already. Literally every single one has been something that was along the lines of what I was thinking when I put my name out there. So I guess I would just say this. The thing that really struck me, first of all, just listening to that list, one difference in me after 20 years in the rooms, not abstinent all that kind of stuff all the time, but I kept coming back, was I would have heard this list and heard it kind of tragically, because it really, you know, you can hear the pain in it, right, as well, that, you know, trying this and trying that, and there must be a solution. And this morning, as the lead chair was reading it, I just found it kind of funny, because it was like almost like a comedy of, I could go on and on and on and try this and try this and try this and try this. And I did try all those things in various forms, starting from about the age of 13 onwards, this was my story. Because at that point I could get my own food, probably before that was also an issue, but by 13 I could find ways to get food. So the problems began outside of me, not just inside. This is what I just wanted to add. I really feel that for me, it is not whether I'm inside the program or outside the program. It has been more that within the program, you know, a lot of problems and negotiating with everything. I need to kind of do a ninth step right here and now generically and say I was a terrible liar to many of my sponsors over the early years. If they didn't ask me, I didn't say, and sort of, you know, lied by omission. And I didn't understand, and the first food programs I were in didn't really focus so much on the steps as the tools. And my learning has been that the steps are the essential part. I need the tools are all great, all of them. They're fantastic. But without the tools, they don't. There's no sort of energy behind them. And the tools are, how do I make a conscious contact with my higher power? How do I have a fearless and searching moral inventory of self and share with another person? How do I let God in on a daily, if not hourly, basis? And by God, I simply mean, whatever it is of my understanding or anyone's understanding, but I think of it as it manifests for me as good orderly direction. When can I pause when I'm, doubtful or irritated? Can I do a step 10? So the great transformation, thank you. The great transformation for me ultimately came, I think, when I was ready, and it came with understanding and hearing at the 12 steps and following on them each day. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Lisa BT from Canada. Next, we have Julie L., followed by Virginia. Please share with us, Julie. Let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Julie M. from New York. Thank you, moderator, for your service. And thank you, everybody, for the comments around the room. It's been a great meeting. The list is infinite for me as well. And the one thing that I have to add is compulsive exercising. And, I would just binge and then go run endless miles. And I couldn't stop the craving. I couldn't stop the obsession. And almost to the day, I've been in the rooms for 20 years. And in my first year, I achieved some type of abstinence. And then a horrific event happened in my life, which led me to a relapse. And as of the last 3 years, when I was desperate enough, the gifts of desperation brought me to the rooms. And this is where I heard the real message for me, the real message of recovery, the message of how people have recovered, continue to recover, the honesty, the pain, the joys that I hear on this line is infinitum, And so for me, when I came into the rooms of vision, I had another spiritual awakening, and because that's what I needed, and I needed to let go of those yellow light foods that really brought me to my knees that are now on my red light foods, and the complete surrender to a God of my understanding that brought me here, and knowing that I can't do this program by myself. It's not a Julie program. It's a we program, and it's the triangle God at the top. And an equilateral triangle where God was at the top on one of the sides and the fellowship is on the other side. And this is how this program works for me. And, every day it's a surrender. Every day I ask God to help me to stay absent and know that the solution is in the room, that the solution is in the surrender, and that we work and get better together. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Julie M. from New York. And before we hear from Virginia, let me remind everybody where we're reading from. If you've come on a little late, we are in the chapter more about alcoholism. We are on page 31, the second paragraph, starting with here are some of the methods we have tried. Reading through one paragraph, ending with we could increase the list ad infinitum and commenting on that one paragraph. Please share with us, Virginia. Let us know where you're calling from. Virginia, star one. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can be heard.
Yes, you are. Thank you. Okay, maybe I didn't hear Virginia. Okay, so let's take another list of names. We could probably take about five people who would like to share in this paragraph.
Toby B.
Tony B.
Anne Marie M.
Kelly H.
Anne Marie M.
Nancy C.
Kelly
Raj.
H.
Raj G.
C. Raj G.
Nicole S.
Nicole S. Okay, let's stop there. All right, Tony B., please share with us. Tony B., star one.
Hi, Tina. Is it my turn to come in? Sorry, I got cut
yes.
off. Call in again.
That's Sorry. Okay. No problem. Go ahead.
Thanks so much, Tina. So my name's Tony B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Scotland. And I wanted to come in and share on this. It's just such a solid step one part here, you know. And just going back into the paragraph before, you know, every form of self-deception and experimentation, I'm going to try to prove that I'm an exception. And these are some of the things that I've done to try and prove that I'm an exception. I'm not a real compulsive overeater. I can do it my way. You know, and I try this and that. And all I've actually done is prove in doing all of it over and over and getting worse and worse, because this is a progressive disease, all I've done is prove to myself that I really am a real compulsive overeater, and that I need help. You know, I'm absolutely powerless over food. And, you know, as we're told in the doctor's opinion, the only relief that they have to suggest, that the doctor has to suggest, is entire abstinence. I must put the food down entirely. I can't be having, you know, stevia for me, you know, honey. I just can't do it. I have to have a clean abstinence. And for me, I need to work with a dietitian who's a professional, who guides me. I eat by a weighed and measured food plan that she gives me. And I can't mess around with it. That's the first step. It's the pre-first step, really. But, you know, I admit that I'm powerless. I'm powerless over food. I need help. I need help from a professional. I need help from a sponsor to take me through the steps. I need help from God, which is finally what I get as a result of working the steps, this connection with a higher power. And thank God for it. Yeah. And with that, I will share the time. Thanks, Tina.
Thanks so much, Tony B. from Scotland. Next, we have Anne Marie M., followed by Kelly. Please share, Anne Marie.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Tina. This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina, gratefully recovering through God's grace, always through God's grace and mercy, recovering from compulsive overeating. You know, I've done many of these things. Excuse me. I wanted to share a spiritual awareness, you call it awakening, spiritual awakening, spiritual awareness I had a couple of days ago, that I'm dishonest. And I was like, you know, that when that was pointed out to me, I was like, really? Like how? How am I dishonest? And so I think I've shared on the line that I have been struggling with my abstinence, putting down the food. And it was pointed out to me that, you know, one, I know that I have these foods, because I had admitted what foods that I, and what ingredients that I have that I cannot take in without triggering a phenomenon of craving. So I know this, and yet I went and picked it up anyway, and that's dishonest. And I was like, ah. Oh. because I, you know, you may have heard me say that, you know, it's Satan in my mind that's causing this. And yeah, that might be, you know, there could be an outside force, you know, entering my head and telling me to compulsively overeat. But ultimately, I need to take the responsibility. And it was me that decided to, you know, open up the cupboard and indulge. So it was just great, a great awareness of dishonesty. And, you know, I just want to be honest. And the other thing was that I'm just going a lot more deeper in my recovery. And, you know, I heard people talking about entire abstinence. And I always recognize that with food. And I've heard people say that they also have behaviors that they abstain from. And I, you know, just like really kind of cocky cocksureness that, you know, I don't need to do that. I had, you know, a stretch of about 4 years of being recovered. And, you know, I could eat in the car or I could eat standing up or I, you know, and I can't, this is a progressive disease. I've lost that privilege to eat in the car. And so I'm looking at behaviors and I have a list of behaviors, which I didn't think I did. But I wrote out a list of behaviors that I need to abstain from. So entire abstinence from anything that could trigger me. And so I'm really grateful. I'm moving along here, and thank you all for
and a reminder,
you know, trudging this road with me. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Anne-Marie M. from South Carolina. Next, we have Kelly, followed by Nancy C. Please share, Kelly.
Hi, good morning. This is Kelly H., North Carolina, and I am a compulsive overeater. Again, just having to remember that. The shares are blowing my mind. Of course, and the reading is just so profound. It really is a... Let's see, for the last 6 years, kind of a choose-your-own-adventure. I had 14 months of really good abstinence until I didn't, and it wasn't an all-of-a-sudden thing. It was the subtle suggestion of, oh, you've changed up this realm of your life, so now you could maybe think about adding a snack back in for that late-night studying, and then I was off to the races. Then I stopped with my sponsees because I had to concentrate so much on my graduate school work. And I didn't have time. And then it was just like, wow, I was in a degree program to see if I could help people. And it was a passion that was born because I had such strong abstinence. But that graduate school program ended when I couldn't stay out of the food and I couldn't have the spiritual territory really to have the strength to get through difficult anxiety to finish my degree. So I've had that cycle, and as painful as that was, you'd think that would have done it for me. But even yesterday I had to have the good reminder that using monk fruit in my coffee in the morning was kind of triggering me, definitely triggering me. And then I was into gummy vitamins and all of those things, hair growth remedies. And it was just a lot of sweet, sweet, sweet stuff. And I just cannot believe that is where... that's the hill my recovery dies on, that level of dishonesty. So the shares are amazing. This is a disease, and I absolutely am grateful for the vulnerability of people just sharing from their own, as Bill W. did. And I guess that's the recovery I want. I want to recover like Bill did. And so with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Kelly H. from North Carolina. Next, we have Nancy C., followed by Roz G. And Nicole, we may not have time. We'll see. Nancy C., please share with us.
Hey, thanks, Tina. Thanks for hearing me this morning. I'm Nancy C., gratefully recovered this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And oh my God, am I blown away by this meeting. I was like, this paragraph, yeah, I tried a bunch of ways. But is what I'm thinking about today is my insanity of my self-will. I mean, this is nothing but self-will. And I always come up with these analogies, but anybody who saw Animal House and the band goes down into that alley and just keeps beating and can't turn around, don't know what they're doing. That's what I do. I did it with eating. I tried different ways. This will work. That'll work. But always myself obsessed that I am going to figure this out. You know, I'm the type of person that wants to figure everything out and then I'll come show you how good I am because I figured it out. But my self-will drives me to all these wacky things. Like if I think that I can do something better than is suggested in this book, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it again. I'm going to try it again. I'm going to try it upside down. I'm going to try it sideways. And I always come back to I am powerless over any of this. And God is the one who takes care of me. So if I don't go down that alley, if I just listen every morning to what God wants me. What is the prayer that just came back to me the other day in a meeting? Empty me, fill me, and use me. If I can just get filled with his will rather than my will, my opportunities for the day are just so vast and amazing. But when I have my will in it, my world gets very small and food looks very encouraging if I don't do anything for my spiritual recovery today. So, oh my God, I'm blown away by the different takes on this paragraph and really appreciate the opportunity to be able to share. Thanks, Tina.
Thanks so much, Nancy C. from Michigan. And Roz and Nicole, if you both take 2 minutes, we should have time. Roz G., please unmute and share.
Okay, thank you. I'll try to take a couple of minutes so that we have time for the other lady. I'm Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And this could be can you top this meeting? But it hasn't. It's been such a wonderful variety of what people, the crazy things people have done. And I can add to the list ad infinitum as well, but what I was thinking about during the shares this morning was that I take me wherever I go. And that means that when I travel, the ingredients in foods in Turkey or Greece or Israel are the same as they are in Palmdale, California. And I take the same brain and the same bowels, the same tongue, chewing, you know, I take my biology wherever I go. And it doesn't matter where I am. So that's another thing is traveling. That means that I get to eat the same thing wherever I go. I mean, there may be some variety of flavors, but it's you know, sugar is sugar wherever you go. And so I also had was too poor to afford any diets back in those days. So I went to the local library and got all the diet books, and they all worked for one day. So those are all human aids. It's all insane. And when I come to a place, a settling place of a food plan that's clean, that works, and when I'm honest, and when I do the spiritual disciplines every day, I will be just fine. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Roz G. from California. Okay, Nicole, we got about a minute and a half. You want to take that, or you want to share in the next meeting?
I'll go ahead and take that. Thank you so much, Kelly, and thank you for your service. This is Nicole S., recovered in Colorado, and I just think of all the times I tried to control my food, you know, all these things I relate to. Also just trying to control people, trying to control life, trying to control myself. And it's only when I let go of control that, you know, that kind of strange phenomenon, you know, that it's I get more control by letting go of control, because I'm not trying to control it. It's only when I can have success when I let God work in and through me and give me the strength and give me the power that I need. And like it says on page 57, even so has God restored us to all our right minds. I'm so grateful for a miracle of healing. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Nicole S. from Colorado. And thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And today's share ID for Thursday, April the 16th, 2026, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,374. That's 23374. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I think it's Kathy M. Would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Kathy M. from Michigan, recovered compulsive overeater, just for today, as always. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until